Participants in a variety of sports are in a state of near panic over new government regulations intended to bar discrimination in health insurance. Motorcyclists, skiers, horseback riders, and others are complaining to Washington, saying the rules make it possible for health insurance companies to refuse to cover injuries resulting from participation in their activities. NPR's Julie Rovner reports the story's not that simple.
At Oatland Stables in Brookville, Maryland, about an hour north of Washington, D.C., riding instructor Boney Caldera is teaching a lesson.
Yeah, there we go. There we go. And pick him up a little bit and let him walk.
Done like with many the in the riding community, Caldera is worried these days. The source of the concern is a regulation published in January to implement a 1996 health insurance anti-discrimination law. Riders and participants in other sports say the regulations allow health insurance companies to deny coverage for injuries incurred in a, quote, dangerous recreational activity. Caldera says that could mean that riders will either have to stop doing what they love or else be prepared to pay for any injuries themselves.
The people I've spoken to, most of them said, yes, I would have to stop riding. I can't afford to pay for, I don't know, a broken arm or even twisted ankle. It's very expensive to go to the emergency room, get x-rays, that sort of thing. I couldn't afford to do it, and I wouldn't put myself in that position.
Caldera says if insurers stopped covering riding-related injuries, it would have a dramatic economic effect on the entire recreational horse industry.
It'd be devastating. I mean, I've spoken to a bunch of instructors, trainers, people that, you know, sell feed, etc. I mean, everybody would be impacted. Most people that ride for fun, don't ride professionally. And so all of us that depend on them to make a living, we'd be impacted tremendously.
Through word of mouth, newsletters, and particularly the internet, sporting enthusiasts of all sorts have been swapping information about the new regulation and filing comments in protest with the responsible federal agencies. One federal official said she's even starting to hear from participants in such relatively uncommon sports as dog sledding. But those most familiar with the law say that while the sporting communities are reading the rules correctly, they're actually misunderstanding the situation as a whole. Lou Sococho is general counsel to the American Association of Health Plans. He says the regulations and the 1996 law on which they're based don't actually change anything regarding how group health insurance policies can be written.
It was always the case prior to that employers were allowed to design their benefit packages in such a way to exclude benefits for those sorts of injuries. And all this is saying is that is still the case.
The primary intent of the 1996 law was to prevent insurers from singling out individuals in a group and barring them from coverage. But Sococho and others say the law was never meant to require insurers or employers to cover specific benefits.
Once the employer makes the decision to provide health benefits, then the employer has to determine, well, you know, based on the cost, what kind of things am I going to cover? What can I afford to cover? How much of that cost am I going to expect my employees to pick up themselves?
That's why many health insurance plans exclude coverage of things like organ transplants, mental health care, and cosmetic surgery. But the mere fact that employers and insurers could legally exclude coverage for sports-related injuries doesn't mean that they will.
It's a non-issue as far as we're concerned.
Kate Sullivan is director of healthcare policy for the U.S. Chamber of Commerce and an avid rower. She says she's not aware of any employer health plans that decline to cover sports injuries, nor of any employers who are planning to.
If anything, we encourage people to get out there and get their heart rates up and going, and this is not something that is happening right now, even though employers do have that discretion to design what it is their health plans do and don't cover.
Even if companies did want to exclude injuries resulting from dangerous recreational activities, it might not end up reducing medical costs. That's because it's not the most dangerous sports that result in the most trips to the emergency room. Rather, says Julie Gilchrist of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, it's the ones practiced by the most people.
The common sports when you see injuries in the emergency room are things like bicycling and basketball and football, the very common ones. You have lots of people participating, so you have, you know, a decent number of injuries.
Gilchrist said it would be nearly impossible to determine which sports actually are the most likely to result in injuries.
Yeah, it would be very difficult because the scientific information isn't available to do it for the dangerousness of the sport.
For example, existing data don't distinguish between someone doing rollerblading as an extreme sport in a high-risk way and a family out for a leisurely roll in the park. But even if excluding sports-related injuries is unlikely to happen, sporting enthusiasts still want the regulation rewritten, as do some of the law's original authors. They say they never intended that the law allow insurers to, quote, escape responsibility for accidents occurring to people participating in common activities. Meanwhile, the regulation was supposed to take effect in early May, but now officials say that due to the large number of comments, they're taking another look. Julie Rovner, NPR News, Washington.